Born. As we stand, let us pray. Dear Lord, may your word be spoken and your word be heard for the love of Jesus, the living word. Amen. Please be seated. I got to tell you, I'm a little excited to be here. I'm glad that you're here. It's an honor to have been called to come and serve you. I recognize that Pastor Stephanie was here for 3 years, and then Ted for the fall. So I recognize there may be some feelings of grief and things that perhaps you've worked through some of them. You're big people. You've had different pastors. I hope it's a good, healthy, and growing relationship that we have with each other in the body of Christ and in our mission to Oshawa and the world. The timing is interesting. Do you know in 2003 I applied to come to this parish? And it wasn't the right time. And I'm grateful for the committee back then and the committee now for their part in agreeing to the bishop's appointment. So I'm grateful to their work because they have to kind of sweat it out, hoping it'll be a good fit. And it feels to me that it will be. When I was praying about coming here, I prayed with a colleague of mine named Reverend Augusto. Am I standing in a good place? I'm not quite sure. Okay. Reverend Augusto began a 3-year contract working with the migrant farm workers who come from Jamaica and Barbados and Mexico to Ontario, particularly Clarington, where he's responsible, and in Beaverton. And he was hired in May, and we were praying about me possibly coming here in August. And I thought, we've just begun this next phase of the ministry there. How can I leave him? And, because I've been working toward migrant farm worker ministry for 2 years prior to this. When I was praying about this, the two words that came to my mind were continuity and completion. Completion and continuity. There's some work that God had done in our life, and my wife is here and two of our 3 children, some work that God had done in our life at St. John's in Bowmanville, and God was saying, that's complete. But there's some continuity that's going on as well. And I'm grateful for Reverend Augusto carry on that ministry. And did you know that Christ Church Oshawa inspired St. John's Bowmanville to begin Messy Church? And I have, did I bring it with me? I have a card that's a farewell card to me for as we were leaving, because I was just in Bowmanville last week, and we had Messy Church yesterday. So it's a good thing the nativity scene outside wasn't here yesterday. I would have missed Messy Church. But anyway, our Christmas Messy Church was yesterday at St. John's Bowmanville, and one of the kids did me a farewell card. And this is what Camden, who I baptized, he's 11 years old, and I baptized him and his 2 younger siblings almost 2 years ago. This is what Camden wrote on my card, with a hand sketch of a road leading to a horizon with a big sun, pencil sketched. And on the top it says, enjoy your journey. And at the bottom it says, P.S., it's not actually that far away. Bright kid. Yes, it's not that far. We live in Bowmanville. We'd be here. So let me introduce my wife. Diane is here. Bless her. She'd be St. Diane, really, but she's followed 5 parishes. She's come with me. I'm so thrilled that I have learned more about faithfulness and loyalty and forgiveness and joy through my wife. She's part of my salvation, my wife. My kids, two of my kids are here. So Clarissa, I'll start with the youngest, who's next to Diane. Clarissa is studying nursing, practical nursing at Loyalist College. She also graduated from science, what's it called? Pre-health science at Durham College. So she's a graduate of Durham, and she's at Loyalist now, and she's in her last year. The strike was a tough thing, and so we pray for a fair settlement there, because I know instructors have that issue. But Clarissa's here. Clarissa, do you want to stay? Yeah, that's Clarissa. And Justin is here, and Justin is our middle son. He's here with his girlfriend, Tina, and Justin is a photographer for Toronto newspapers, and he lives partly in Oshawa, partly in Toronto, and Tina is his girlfriend, and she's here too. Our oldest son is Nicholas. Nicholas is lives in Guelph with his girlfriend, Alex, and he is a microbrewery guy. He makes beer at a micro craft brewery, and he plays... So if anybody wants to watch a game and offers me a beer, I won't turn you down, even if it's not from a microbrewery. This service isn't about me. It's about lighting a candle of hope. And what I would like to say from the gospel reading is, a man went on a journey. That was part of the gospel reading. Did you hear that? A man went on a journey. So here I am. I'm a man going on a journey. Now, I am the pastor or the leader here, but if... There's an old proverb that says, if you think you're leading and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. So we kind of need each other. But I'm not here not just to say that I'm honored to be called to be your pastor, but I want to honor you. I want to build you up. I want you to know that your ministry, your witness, your influence as a believer makes a difference as a person. You have influence. Do you know that? Your life has influence. And the definition of leadership, the simplest definition of leadership, is influence. Therefore, you are leaders. So how do we encourage each other as leaders? Well, I'm going to give the men here a challenge. You probably got one of these... Oh, did I forget that too? No, here it is. Somebody works hard on this, a bunch of people, I guess Darlene in the office, works hard on this every month. On page 9, I noticed something for men. Well, it isn't just for men, but men don't like to read. Do men like to read? I don't know. Men. But here it is. On page 9, if you happen to have one of these things, the top it says, Christmas Story, Live Nativity. And I hope, so the first challenge is the second half of the page, December Daily Bible Readings. Do you know what would be a leadership, a sign of you are being a good leader, especially the men here? If you go down to where it says 10, in kind of small print there, but it's a little different color, it says, can you read what that says? What is it? So that's from the Bible, and it's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. It's the Bible reading for next week. So here's my challenge to you men. Read those 8 verses before you get here. When you're shaking my hand, you say, hi, my name's Bill, or whatever, I'll say to you, what was my challenge? Read the Bible before you get here. If we're going to have leadership influence, here's my first little leadership influence for you, and then you get to check me next week. So that's my first little challenge, particularly for the men. Because, listen, guys, if you don't want to read the Bible yourself, ask your wife to read it to you. Or have the computer read it for you. Out loud. You know, so you can hear it. Hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest is what the prayer book says. But I'm simply asking you to read it. So that's my first challenge. The second one, and you'll get an announcement at the end of the service about the Christmas Story Live Nativity. I don't even know if you like donkeys. Maybe you don't like donkeys. Maybe you've seen the Christmas Story. You know what it's all about. But if you're going to have influence, and if I'm going to have influence, it means opening your mouth and saying, why don't you come to the Christmas Story? You want the church to grow? Am I the only person who wants the church to grow? Invite someone to the Christmas Story. And if you're courage enough to do that, maybe you'd invite them to come back. because you've read Mark chapter 1 the next day, right? Growing, listen to this, growing Christians grow the church. Growing Christians grow the church. My sermon in a sentence, if you want to hear it, is a quote from a guy named Bill Johnson. And he says this, "The people with the most hope have the most influence." Think about that. The people with the most hope have the most influence. Do you have hope? Even a little bit? See, your hope is not based on your feelings. The world out there, the way the world uses hope is to say, "I hope I find a parking spot." Or, "Hope my family makes it home for Christmas." "I hope my family will phone me because I'm lonely." Or whatever. You know, it's a wish, right? But the biblical definition of hope is the joyful anticipation of what is to come. The joyful anticipation of what is to come. Based not on my feelings, but based on the character and action of God. Based on the character and action of God. So what I can say to you, you can have, the people who have the most hope have the most influence, because the people who say, "My God is big enough to handle what happened in the past." See, Isaiah does that, right? Didn't you hear that in Isaiah? He said, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Just like, and he goes through a sort of history of how God's action had been involved in the nation of Israel and how that encouraged them. But it was such a holy action. Then what does he do? God is not only powerful in the past, but he confronts them in their iniquity, in their sinfulness in the present. What does that sound like to you? People on a journey who've lost their way. So if we're people on a journey, a man's going on a journey, or a congregation's going on a journey, sometimes we lose our way. So the hope is not based on my feelings. It's not even based on my circumstances, or the church's circumstances, or the church's bottom line, or the attendance. That's a powerful thought. It is not your hope and your future is not based on the present reality. At the 8 o'clock service, I said, "How many people here would like 200 people at the 8 o'clock service?" Oh, they were thrilled to hear that. Growing Christians grow the church. So if you want to grow, read your Bible. Practice that hope based on God, not on your feelings and not on your circumstances. He concludes by saying, and I'll say this with the children, 11:15, "For God is the potter, and we are the clay." Now, I don't know about you, but when I've had a clay pot, it'll sometimes get brittle and crack. But the kind of potter that God is, he works with us, and he sees that we have malleableness within us, even if we're 17 years old or 97. Anybody here over 97? Did I miss out anybody? Good. We have malleableness in us. There is, even they've discovered the brain is even malleable. It can heal. So there is something in you that can still be shaped by God. That's God giving you hope for new possibilities. We light this candle of hope for new possibilities because this has never happened before. I wasn't called in 2003. I got very sick after my interview, not because of the interview. I had Norwalk flu. It wasn't God's timing for me. So here I am now. I think this is God's timing. I really do. God is on a mission. And it isn't just about saving the church. God forbid. God didn't come to just create an institution. He didn't come to make bad people good or good people better. God didn't do that. This isn't why Jesus died. Do you know why Jesus died? He died to make dead people alive. Are you alive? Are you alive in the Spirit? Are you alive in the power and passion of God? Are you alive because the Scriptures are feeding your soul? Are you alive because You want to share this good news with somebody to come and see a donkey? And hear the Christmas story? Or all the wonderful things I hear you're doing in this community. You've already done some great things here. Have I gone on too long? I don't want to... Because I think there's more Sundays to preach than just today, apparently. So I think that probably should be close to the end. You want to know who Kit Greaves is? Yes, I was born in Sault Ste. Marie and raised in Brooklyn, and I've served five parishes and married and have three kids. One is in heaven. I'll tell you about that sometime. But primarily, I see myself as a disciple. My identity. I'm a Canadian citizen. I'm left-handed. I like watching the Leafs. But my identity is a disciple. I am a disciple of Jesus. Do you know what the word disciple means? Anybody? Follower? What else? The choir is good. This is great. What else is a disciple? Teacher or student, right? Yeah, very good in education. So those are the two kind of main things. I would suggest, pardon me? A learner. Yes, a lifelong learner. Okay, so that's the malleableness, the clay. He's the potter, we're the clay. So I'm a disciple. I'm learning to follow Jesus, who's my identity, more than anything to do with, you know, my citizenship or handedness or whatever. So I would suggest to you that you too, if you have said yes to Jesus, that you are a disciple. Don't be ashamed of that name. And what did Jesus say his last words before he went to heaven? He gave you a commission. He gave you an assignment. Go and what? Make disciples. How are we doing with that? We don't just necessarily mean come and join the chancel guild or come and join the choir or whatever. I mean, maybe that is a means through which to become a disciple or the people who help do the cleaning or the people who are in the choir or whatever. That can be part of it. But a disciple is someone who is an apprentice. Your ongoing apprenticeship is with Jesus. And he is so awesome, you want to keep your eye on the master. Because he's continuing to shape you and me. Not just you as an individual, not just you as a family, but us as a church family. And in the wider community, there are the people out there waiting to be invited to be a disciple. They're waiting. That's pretty awesome to think. That there's this expectation, this hope, that maybe somebody will say there's more to my life than just paying the bills or driving to work or doing the volunteer work. There's something more to my life. And if you get to the base of it, it's about identity as disciples, as apprentices of Jesus. So I conclude my opening remarks here for my first sermon with a great sense of honor and thankfulness for God's timing and for your welcome. And that to say that you and I, as people of unquenchable hope, have the possibility of moving mountains together. The mountain that might be moved might be within you. It might be within you because there may be some things getting in the way. But the God of hope who wants to live and have place in your life will lift you and I to new heights, new possibilities, new opportunities. God of hope. The people with the most hope have the most influence. Let's begin the journey together, shall we? Thanks be to God.